Hi, this is James Altucher. Thank you for listening to Eric Cabral's Entrepreneur Circle.
On this episode,
the pattern always reveals the problem. And so once we start to break apart and analyze the problem always paints a perfect picture for the pain that we have yet to overcome and transcend. That's why I tell my clients, people don't have business problems, they just have personal problems that show up in their business. Why is that?
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Circle, where we've built a community that shares lessons learned throughout our journeys, celebrate wins, our eureka moments, and embrace the F word, meaning failure, which I've come to realize that failure is success in progress. I'm Eric Cabral, your host, a husband, a father of two brilliant girls, and I've been called a heart-centered entrepreneur by my peers and mentors. My mission in life is to make the world a better place, one mic at a time. So I'm happy and humble to have you join in on that mission. And I hope that by the end of the show, we would have added value in your life. So if you're ready to jump into the circle, let's get to it. Hey, I'm so glad you're here because I don't often get the opportunity to share with you exactly what I do and what we do here at On Air Brands. So we help the folks in our community and our clients to launch a podcast and then produce them on a weekly basis. We also help to promote each episode with close to a dozen social media posts that consist of quote cards, sound bites, and video clips. And then we post them for you on your socials automatically. So if you're a business owner with a ton on your plate, and a podcast just seems super overwhelming, I get it. We don't need one more thing to worry about. So let me and my team at On Air Brands do the heavy lifting each week so that you can focus on what you do best, which is to build your business, have more time to pour into your family and your community, or just plain chill and recharge. So feel free to email me at eric@onairbrands so that we can book time together to chat about how we can align with your mission and how you can align with ours, which is to make the world better. One mic at a time. Now back to the show. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. I'm your most happy and humbled host, as usual. We have a guest here where we're going to dive deep into the world of personal growth and transformation with an amazing and remarkable dude. But before I welcome him on the show, I want to introduce you to a guy who is the force behind Awake with Jake, which is the best-selling book, Let Love In, The Pain Stops When the Truth Starts. Jake is a passionate life coach and a motivational speaker who's on a mission to help people unlock their full potential and live their best lives. He offers a wealth of resources such as blogs, engaging workshops. He's designed and empowered many individuals on their personal path and professional growth and journey. So without further ado, brother, welcome Jake Kaufman to the show.
Eric, thanks so much, my man. It's great to be here.
Yeah, man. I am ready to go deep with you. I know we had tried to align the planets previously, and I was all in. I did so much research on Jay Kaufman, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a tear-jerking episode for me. And then and then it didn't happen. And then here we are. I landed the bird here with you. I parachuted in, actually, setting everything up as I showed you behind the scenes after getting back from a trip. And I'm like, oh, man, okay, we're going to get into this. We're not rescheduling. So, yeah, I'm glad you're able to jump in and do this with me. So, brother, let's start with the very first question in our show. And the audience loves this one, especially your eureka moment that caused a major life pivot in business or in life.
So probably the biggest eureka moment, which I actually detail fully in the beginning of my book, was this moment. I had been in the personal development world, the self-help world, for a number of years. So I had done an incredible amount of work in myself through therapy, a variety of different workshops, hiring coaches, all the things. And I ultimately felt called to and led to share my story of sexual abuse on social media, because in coaching, hyper-successful people, high-achieving entrepreneurs, executives, and individuals, what I realized is that so many people had been through something similar, if not worse, than what I had experienced. They had simply never told anybody about it. And so throughout my time spent coaching these people, it became very, very clear that a lot of their drive and ambition was actually this unconscious compensating strategy in an attempt to avoid their pain. And so I felt called to share my story on social media to inspire other people to step into their healing journey. Because until we reconcile the pain from the past, what are we going to do? We're going to inevitably recycle it into the present moment. And so it was when I shared my story on social media, despite all the work that I had done on myself and had spent years seeking to overcome all of these things, all of the internal resistance that was holding me back as a result of what I had gone through as a child, the masks that I continued to wear to hide, to act as if I had it all together, as if I was successful, as if I was fine, right? All of those masks were ripped away. Masks that I didn't even know I was wearing. I didn't even know that they were there. And as a result of sharing my story on social media, I actually suffered from an incredible panic attack that actually led to my entire nervous system collapsing. So I suffered from what is clinically referred to as an acute nervous system breakdown, because the level of connection that I experienced on the back end of sharing my story, the text messages, the phone calls, the DMs from people, it was just too much for my system. It was too much for my nervous system to handle. And I just went into overwhelm. And what that revealed were all of these unconscious adaptive traits and compensating strategies that I had relied upon to continue to hide and to ensure that I never experienced that pain again.
What was the catalyst for you to take that leap? And did you have any idea the, you know, for lack of a better word, the repercussions or the feedback, I'm sure, was positive mostly, if not all. But what was the catalyst for saying, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to do it. Whatever happens, happens.
It was realizing just how many people like myself who had experienced something similar, but had never shared it with anybody. You know, they say that 1 in 3 women will experience some form of sexual abuse or sexual assault in their lifetime. They say for men, it's 1 in 6. But from what I can tell you, that's largely due to a reporting problem. Because men simply don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. And this was more or less on the back end of the Me Too movement. And so I felt inspired as a man to step into a deeper level of vulnerability because of what I thought that that would open up for other people, which is being inspired to step into their own growth and healing journey, to, you know, address the things that they avoid. Because, you know, I know you've been in the personal development space for a long time, but the breakthroughs that people are looking for, in my experience, the most profound breakthroughs that we're looking for are found on the other side of the things that we avoid.
So were you having private conversations, or did you notice these were people like, you know, you're speaking to in the hallways or friends?
Yeah, so most of these conversations were with my clients. Mm. Now, none of them knew about my story because I had yet to share it publicly. I had, of course, shared what happened to me in the context of a therapy relationship. I had disclosed it with my family, a couple really close friends, but I had never shared it to my broader network. And so it was in talking with my clients who started to share and open up about their stories of abuse or trauma that I realized, wow, so many people have been through something similar. They just haven't shared it with anybody. And they haven't done the needed work within themselves to ultimately reconcile that experience so that they can transcend it. And as a result, they're experiencing all of this resistance when it comes to, you know, elevating to the next level in their business or in their career. They're experiencing resistance when it comes to cultivating a greater degree of depth, love, intimacy, and connection in their romantic relationships, because they're acting from the space of their old wounds, because they haven't done anything about them. They haven't fully reconciled them. And so a lot of people's actions and decision-making, whether it was in business or whether it was in romantic relationship with regard to their health, was all stemming from these painful past experiences. They were just unconscious to it because the number one goal of the ego is to maintain the status quo. Well, how does it do that? It hides the truth from you. It convinces us that, you know, that thing that happened to you when you were a really young child isn't that big of a deal. And for a lot of people, it's not, quote unquote. And by that, I mean, the rarest form of trauma is actually acute trauma, which is something like I experienced, whether it's abuse, assault, or an accident. What is incredibly common, though, and we've all arguably experienced, is little t trauma, emotional trauma, because trauma is much more about what happened inside of us as a result of what happened to us, as opposed to what actually happened. It's the stories and the beliefs that we make up about ourselves, the world, other people that we ultimately carry around with us throughout childhood, but later on into adulthood, that holds us back from reaching our full potential in business and career, in love and relationship, and as it relates to our personal health and overall level of fulfillment.
There's a couple things I want to unpack, but I want to go back to the first time you shared this with your greater network, whether it was on a podcast or online.
Yeah.
How did that feel? And you know, was it a good or a bad thing or a big cocktail of both?
It was a big cocktail of both. There was an incredible amount of relief that came on the back end of it because there was no more energy going into like hiding this part of me, you know, or performing my way around this pain, because now it was out there in public. But the downside of it was the fact, like I mentioned, all of a sudden, I was forced to embrace and engage in a connected way with people that fundamentally didn't feel safe. Because after my abuse, love, connection, intimacy, all of those things fundamentally felt unsafe because trauma reshaped my relationship to those things. So letting people in, letting people see me for who I really am, that was incredibly, incredibly scary because the story that I was making up is if I allow you in, if I allow you to fully see me, you might try to take advantage of me. Right. And that, of course, was showing up in my relationships at work and in my business. And it was the source of so much of this resistance, I was just unconscious to it. It wasn't until a therapist and a coach came alongside me and said, hey, are you aware of these various patterns that you continue to repeat in your life and as it relates to, you know, career and business and romantic relationship? And although I didn't have the language for it at the time, what I would say to my clients now is that the pattern always reveals the problem. And so once we start to break apart and analyze the problem always paints a perfect picture for the pain that we have yet to overcome and transcend. That's why I tell my clients, people don't have business problems. They just have personal problems that show up in their business. Why is that? Why is that? Because they haven't done the necessary needed work in order to resolve their interpersonal problems, which all stem from childhood. Because that's when the vast majority of our cognitive development takes place between the ages of 2 and 7. So we're basically just living out the beliefs and the identity that we created as a really young child in response to who we think we needed to be in order to be loved and accepted by mom and dad. And we just continue to play that out in later stages of our life on into adulthood as it relates to, again, you know, romantic partnership, the relationship that we have and how we parent our kids. And in career and business.
Yeah.
Most people are doing this. They are just unconscious to it.
Yeah. You're recalling things that I became aware of personally as I started to recognize the patterns revealed the problem, in that picking people that I work with, especially business partners, you know, that are going to be, you know, what we often call, you know, it's like a work marriage, you know, and corporate. I'm from corporate for over 20 years. Yeah. It's my work wife. It's my work husband, which is
totally,
I've come to find was really unhealthy, in terms of your mindset and the culture. But, I recognized that I would attract or be attracted to people that had characteristics like my mom. You know, typically totally. Anyone that I work with in corporate or in business, right, was always like, oh, wow, there are characteristics of my mom in there, just like my wife. You know, the characteristics of my mom in my wife that people probably don't think of or are aware of. Can you expand on that, you know, either in your personal or, you know, work with clients that someone listening might be able to be aware of as well?
100%. Well, I mean, at least in your case, and this is very common, by the way, I've had tons of clients who have reported the exact same thing, where they make hires or they get into business partnerships or relationships with people who simply serve as confirmation bias to their unresolved wounding from childhood. So this is super common. The interpersonal dynamic that you had between you and your mother, obviously that is super familiar to you. So even if it's ineffective, for lack of a better phrase, the ego would always rather be right about what doesn't serve us than wrong about what does. So it's going to seek to maintain the status quo, maintain that interpersonal dynamic that you are incredibly familiar with because, right, you were raised, I'm assuming your mother was your primary caregiver or one of your primary caregivers. So of course, you're going to continue to seek to preserve and recreate that dynamic, even if it's largely ineffective for the purposes of business, for the sake of recreating what you know and continuing to maintain the status quo. And so until you reconcile the wounding that created the beliefs that you continue to carry around that has you attract the similar characteristics in people you hire or in, you know, the business partners that you attract, you're just going to continue to play that out. And Carl Jung, I think he put this brilliantly, the famous psychotherapist, he mentioned that until we make the unconscious conscious, it will continue to direct your life and you will call it fate.
I love that.
So most people are caught up in this cycle.
I love the one quote, and I just wanted to make sure that we get it correct because I typed it out here, but ego would rather be right about what doesn't serve us. Can you repeat that one again? It's so good.
The ego would always rather be right about what doesn't serve us than wrong about what does.
Yeah.
It's so good. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Yeah. Now, was that a safety thing? Is that something that we feel? Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Because what is familiar to us, even if it's an abusive situation, it feels safe. The unknown poses significantly greater risk. And so we seek to, this is why people go back to abusive relationships time and time and time again. It's because that's what they know. That's what they're used to. It's what they're familiar with. So even if it's incredibly toxic or unhealthy, or in the context of like working, people who are prone to overworking, people who really struggle to take time off, relax, who are prone to burnout, who get addicted to stress in order to, you know, hit their goals as it relates to career and business. All of those are unconscious compensating strategies in order to avoid themselves. It never fails. I've been doing this for over half a decade now in serving people who are significantly more successful than I am, who have multiple 7-8-figure businesses, who come to me with these interpersonal problems, and the internal resistance that they experience on the back end of those challenges that are simply getting repeated and continuing to live them out, that you dig beneath the surface and you figure out really, really quickly that it's simply a result of these patterns repeating themselves.
Yeah. Let's talk about, and I see this time and time again in my personal and my business life, control and the lack of control.
Yep.
And can you talk about how that affects people's lives, their business, and where that could potentially stem from, you know, in terms of their childhood and their past?
It's a great question. Well, first and foremost, we have to determine the belief beneath the behavior, because all of our behaviors are driven by a set of beliefs. So once we identify the primary belief beneath the behavior in this case, in this example, is the need to be in control, which of course is going to manifest in business at least as an inability to delegate, whether it's delegating responsibility or whether it's delegating decision making, which is going to absolutely hold the business back from growing as quickly as it's capable of. And so once we establish what that belief is, what that person is ultimately afraid of, what might happen if they are not in control, that we can start to reconcile and undo that internal belief that is at the source of the resistance that is coming up for them internally, that's causing them to need to be in control. So that's what has to happen. It's one thing to identify, and then it's one thing to identify the belief, of course, but it's a whole other thing to undo it, to undo and to reconcile the experiences that went into the creation of that belief. And that's where the ego gets really tricky, because so many people, they'll uncover a unconscious belief, bring the unconscious to the conscious level, and they will feel as if they've had a breakthrough, which couldn't be further from the truth. What you've had is an epiphany. You have become aware of that which you were unaware previously, but you have yet to integrate that into your behavior, which ultimately results in a fundamental shift in terms of the results that you create. That's where the breakthrough occurs.
So they've become somewhat aware of the issue, but they haven't. That's step number one, but they haven't put anything in place in terms of tools or developing new habits to counter what?
Correct. To integrate, that new reality. Awareness is the first step. Acceptance or healing is the next step, where we actually resolve and reconcile, like I mentioned, the experiences that went into the creation or the formation of that belief. And then after that is taking new action that runs in opposition to this old belief. And that's where we start to have disconfirming experiences that support in the undoing of that belief. So for example, if you're a business consultant and you want to raise your prices and you're currently charging $3,000 a month and you have resistance to charging, say, $5,000 a month, what's underneath the resistance? It's likely one of, I'm not capable of charging that much, or people aren't going to be willing to pay me that much, or whatever the internal narrative is. But the moment we figure out what's beneath that, where does that actually come from? Whether it's a self-worth conversation, whether it's a self-doubt conversation of one's own internal capacities, skill sets, etc. And they start to charge $5,000, before they actually get someone to pay them that amount of money, they are, so-and-so who's never been paid $5,000 before, who isn't capable, quote unquote, or doesn't have what it takes. But the moment someone pays them $5,000, a disconfirming experience happens, because now they have evidence to support the new belief that they are capable of that, that they do have what it takes, that they are worth that. And that creates a fundamental shift, a reorientation within the person. And you can apply this to anything in life, any goal that you have, any aspiration that you have, regardless of what area of your life it applies to. The moment that takes place, you can no longer go back from that. And that in and of itself creates a new set of beliefs, which you can then build upon.
So awareness being the first step, Jake, and then healing being the next step, and I would just make a guess here, but you share with us the next few steps in that. It would be forming the habit so you don't fall back on the familiar, or you don't start So is it creating new habits and forming new habits and being aware that you're reverting?
Right. Yeah. It's that's where transformation happens. 100%. But in order for that to happen, you are correct. You have to implement new habits, new patterns of behavior that are going to allow that belief to solidify and become ingrained into your character, insofar that this is just who I am now. A great example for this is people who go to the gym. In the beginning, there's typically a lot of, when you're trying to create a healthy habit of exercising, of health and wellness, in the beginning, there's quite a bit of resistance, right? Because you're laying the tracks, you're laying new neural pathways for this behavior to stick to. But eventually, if you do that long enough, consistently enough, going to the gym 3 to 5 days a week, it's now a part of who you are as a person. This is just what Jake Kaufman does. He goes to the gym 3 to 5 days a week, and it's a part of my identity now. Mm-hmm. So, and this is one of the biggest mistakes that people make, especially coaches in their support of their clients. We have to heal before we can transform. Most people hire a coach and they want to skip straight to the implementation of new habits, new behavior patterns in order to create a more ideal situation for themselves, whether that's in health, wealth, or relationship. The issue is they're not doing the needed necessary work at the level of belief, at the level of identity. And so rarely do those habits, those new behavior patterns, rarely do they ever stick long term. Mm-hmm. Rarely are they ever sustainable because the foundation is still the same. You know, and it becomes one of those situations where you try to pour 32 ounces of water into a 16 ounce glass. What's going to happen? It's going to spill. It's going to spill over. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we see this all the time with eating disorders, for example. The amount of people that are prone to yo-yo dieting, right? So they adopt all these new patterns of behavior and they put some discipline around it. But then what ends up happening? They end up regressing. Same thing is true for people who make a New Year's resolution to start to go to the gym consistently. By March 1st, I think over 85% of those gym memberships have been canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it also reminds me of when I used to watch all these hoarder shows that, mm-hmm. and people would come in and help them. Yeah, you can go ahead and clean it top to bottom, right? Scrub it, get rid of all the boxes from Amazon and everything. But you'll come back, you know, 6 months, 12 months later, and it's back to, because they didn't work on what was up here, right?
The same song, different dance.
Yeah.
Yep. Same song, different dance, same package, different bow. The same thing is true for a lot of the people that I support in business. They want to sell their existing business to then go start a new one, right? In like a different, more ideal way. And that never happens because they just carry the same beliefs, the same identity over with them into that new business.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The transformation is key, but it's also probably one of the most difficult things to do, right? Because it requires a high level of self-awareness and drive to embrace change. Like nobody wants to change.
Correct. Yep. And it's not sexy to tell someone that, hey, the best way to grow and scale your business, for example, is by unpacking your pain and reconciling the pain from the past. Nobody wants to do that, which is why, you know, we change when we want to or when we're forced to. For men, it's typically when we're forced to.
Mm.
I do believe that there are two great, great catalysts for transformation. One is great love. One is great suffering.
Yeah.
For men, unfortunately, and I say men because that is the focus of the work that I do these days. For most men, the vast majority of men, it's great suffering. We seem to need a smack upside the head in order to get us to move and to change in a profound way and let go of these adaptive traits, these compensating strategies that are not actually us. It's simply who we think we need to be in order to be loved, accepted, and successful, that ultimately puts us at odds within ourselves and has us adopt behaviors and certain patterns that aren't actually authentic to us.
Hmm.
And it forms this personality that is this amalgamation of like genuine traits and characteristics, but adaptive compensating traits and characteristics that are really just in response to pain or the prevention of pain. And that's where you have, in your words, struggles with needing to be in control.
Yeah. Can you give us an example from your life or someone's, but I'd like to hear maybe something personal that was a prime example of what we're discussing here, that you were able to make a breakthrough. You took the steps. And then you found maybe that you reverted. You're like, oh man, what am I doing here? I got to go. I'm aware of this. You know, like,
yep.
Yeah. Can you share some story or something that enlightened?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I talk about this in the early parts of my book as well. It was becoming aware of these various patterns that most specifically were showing up in terms of my career and in business. and in romantic relationship. In career and business, I've been fired from every professional job I've ever had. And not a single one has lasted longer than like a year, year and a half. In terms of romantic relationship, right around the 6 month marker, right around when like all of, you know, the masks start to come off and you start to see the person for who they truly are and you have your first big, you know, significant argument, right? And you're like, oh, got it. I fully understand like all of who this person is. Like we've moved beyond the get to know you phase and you know, here's the truth. I would find some reason to sabotage it and to break it off. Because ultimately, the depth of connection that was required to go to the next phase in the relationship, whether it was a romantic relationship or whether it was at work, because obviously at work, it requires an inherent level of like collaboration and communication and compromise and all of these various things. And you start to form certain levels of trust or deeper levels of trust with your coworkers or with your, you know, with your superiors. That required a level of interpersonal connection that simply felt unsafe to me. And what do we do when we feel unsafe? We sabotage. We sabotage.
So were you in these jobs and there would be this romantic honeymoon type of phase for you and then and for them. But then when it started to get real, you know, like in any relationship where
totally.
You had to sort of reveal your strengths and weaknesses, become apparent. You can't hide them. Is that what started happening?
Totally, because I started to avoid at a really young age because I had to, because no child is safe to feel that they are unsafe. So after I was abused, I had to avoid. I had to. The problem is I got stuck in that avoidance. And so 15 years later, now I'm having all of these interpersonal issues within my romantic relationship and at work and in business because of the collaboration that's required with my coworkers and my superiors. And it's holding me back. It's preventing me from like really living into like what I know I'm capable of accomplishing and achieving with my life, in my purpose, with my business. And so I'm like, what is going on here? Like, I need to figure out what is at the root of these behavior patterns, right? Because the pattern always reveals the problem. I need to figure out what's going on beneath the surface here at an unconscious level. If I'm going to break the pattern, if I'm going to make a significant change that is ultimately going to create a significant breakthrough for me in terms of my actual results in business and in career, but also in terms of the opportunities that I attract, the romantic relationships that I attract, et cetera. Because I was, you know, like yourself, I was attracting women who unsurprisingly reflected the character and the behavior of who? My mother as well. Mm-hmm. Now, my mother's incredible. She's an amazing woman. And we all have our own interpersonal challenges. And the reason I kept attracting that type of dynamic in romantic relationship was because I hadn't done the necessary healing work that I needed to around the relationship with my mother and how I misinterpreted a lot of, you know, for example, her discipline and how I internalized that as me not being good enough and me not having, you know, having what it takes. And so I needed to really work through those things if I was going to attract a healthy, thriving romantic relationship. And the minute I did, the minute every area of my life started to improve, it had a dramatic, profound ripple effect. Because all of this is ultimately connected because it goes back to our beliefs and our identity. So if we want to achieve our full potential, you know, if we want to live up to our full potential, it has nothing to do with like achieving or accumulating anything. The world tells us that. Society, you know, tells us that. Instagram does a great job of, you know, telling us that as well. But it's just not true. Transformation is much, 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 much more about unbecoming, unlearning, undoing than it is about becoming, achieving, or accomplishing.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. The question that's popping up in my mind, and then we'll move on to our next segment of the show, is, and I didn't establish this, I apologize earlier, when you mentioned the abuse, at what age were you when this occurred and for how long?
So it was an acute incident. I was roughly 12 or 13 years old. So it wasn't, it never repeated itself. I was at Christian summer camp, and as you can probably imagine, it started as this like hazing incident where it was just meant to be like this joke that ultimately went way, way over the line. And I didn't have the mental resources or the internal capacity to know what to do with it. And so I didn't actually acknowledge it as sexual abuse until around 15 years later in therapy. But what revealed itself was all of these various emotions that I was continuing to embody internally that stemmed from the incident itself. Shame, embarrassment, humiliation, sadness, anger, right? The incident produced all of those emotions that I was simply brushing under the rug and unconsciously running away from, but I was continuing to recycle those emotions because I hadn't done the needed necessary work to separate experience from emotion, right? So there's no longer this association, this internal unconscious association that is producing internal resistance within me that's preventing me from being as successful, as connected, as open, as vulnerable as I'm capable of being. Mm.
So once you identified it for what it was, the healing process, did you start to, did that take a long time? Is it continuing today? And also, how much has changed as a result of unlocking that and putting it out there?
Yeah. I mean, everything has changed, quite frankly. The more I started to work through the internal resistance attached to the experience, the better my business did. You know, for the first 3 years I was in business, my business doubled every single year. And it wasn't necessarily the result of like, you know, exponentially growing my team or putting in place, you know, new scalable strategies or various systems. It was really just the internal work that I needed to do to take on a greater degree of risk and put myself out there in a more profound, impactful way. So to answer the other part of your question, transformation starts with confession. So the minute I acknowledged the experience for what it was, that's when healing, that's when change became possible. You know, if you're familiar with any 12-step program, I've never been through a 12-step program myself, but I've studied the steps. Every single meeting starts the exact same way. Hi, my name is Jake and I'm a fill in the blank. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. I'm codependent. Whatever it may be, every meeting, every introduction starts the same. There's this moment of confession. And the moment I confess whatever it is the issue is, that's when I can finally do something about it. And so the same thing is true for us on an interpersonal level. Until the truth is on the table, we're just dancing around the issue. So until, you know, especially in my relationship with my clients, until, for example, we acknowledge, why are you so fervently growing your business, but at the cost of your health? Oh, it's because my dad died and I haven't truly gotten over the loss. Now we can actually do something with that truth, right? That's going to ultimately lead to a breakthrough, where this person's no longer overcompensating. They're no longer turning to work, to accomplishment, to achievement as a self-soothing strategy in order to avoid their pain. That's what most people are doing in entrepreneurship, but it's, you know, we just hide it behind the guise of being growth-minded, of being ambitious, of being assertive, of being determined, right? Of having a really strong work ethic, right? But The real reality, 99 times out of 100, is the fact that beneath all of that drive, ambition, and assertiveness is just unresolved pain that's causing one to overcompensate.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the minute you break through that stuff, I'm telling you right now, there's always one primary outcome, and that is people relax. Mm-hmm. They've got nothing to prove. They've got nothing to protect. And they're much, 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 much more focused on cultivating a high degree of internal peace.
Yeah. I think the critical nature of vulnerability, as it's accepted in any individual, is truly like that's what happened for me. It wasn't really until a couple of years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Jake, that I realized I'm just going to start being vulnerable. And I didn't realize I was doing it. But what was happening as a result of me being vulnerable was attracting more people that had pain and trauma. Yep. And it built a safe space for people to share. And that's basically what I wanted to share with you is that how do you get into a safe space first with an individual? And then secondly, how do you find a group of people? Because I think that's where a lot of healing can begin, because now you realize you're not alone.
Totally. Well, I think intention powers everything. So it starts with creating the intention that I am going to seek someone out to support me through this challenge, whatever that challenge is. Because in my experience, whenever that happens, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, right? So the moment you create that intention to work with someone, to get support, it shows up. Also because your actions are going to start to speak to that intention. You're going to start to do some research. You're going to start to ask around. You're going to ask some friends, hey, do you know of a coach who could support me with X, Y, and Z? Or do you know of a therapist who specializes in X, Y, Z to be able to support me with what I'm going through? Right. So that's actually, that intention is going to drive your behavior patterns, your actions, your decisions, in terms of actually seeking those resources out for yourself. In terms of a group, same exact thing. You know, you're going to start to research men's groups. You're going to start to look up retreats, intensive experiences that can support you with whatever it is that you're going through. You know, whether it's like, for example, a Joe Dispenza event, because he's become very popular these days and his events are drawing thousands of people. For every single one, you know, you're going to start to look into things like that because, right, your unconscious motivation is a match for your conscious behavior. And there's congruence there. There's alignment there. So your lyrics match your music. The big issue in this day and age is very rarely do people's words and actions align because internally they're seeking to prove, they're seeking to protect. You know, they're seeking to posture. And when you're focused, however consciously or unconsciously on those things, you're probably going to experience an incredible amount of resistance around asking for support or seeking out help.
Yeah. It's this idea that, and I think that James Clear probably put it best from a podcast that he was on when he said, and he wrote Atomic Habits for anyone doesn't know, but I've mentioned it on this show multiple times, what he said in that, you know, entrepreneurship is really personal development in disguise. Yep. And, you know, most of us, especially me, would, if I had known that, I probably would have shied away from it. Like, oh, why would I do that? Why would I uncover, peel the masks off and look in the mirror and feel all this pain? But it's necessary, right, for us to move forward. Because I don't know why. It's, why do you think that it's so critical to having a business or of any success?
Well, like you mentioned, entrepreneurship, it's inherently a personal development journey because it will, it's just like being a parent. It will expose all of your inherent selfishness. It will expose all of your doubts, all of your fears, all of your triggers, right? And triggers just reveal that which has yet to be healed. It's going to reveal all of those things. I don't know if there's any greater catalyst for transformation outside of being an entrepreneur, a parent, or a romantic partner. All of those three things are incredible vehicles for transformation, because they reveal the truth of who you are. So as you start to step into entrepreneurship, right, there are going to be certain things that you have to do in order to maintain and grow a business. Market yourself, for example. Well, if you have an issue around being seen, around owning your voice powerfully, around communicating what it is that you believe, because you're afraid of judgment, you're afraid of ridicule, you know, you're afraid of rejection, that's going to be exposed very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. And so you're going to have to be forced to confront that unhealed, unintegrated part of yourself if you hope to actually experience a breakthrough and be able to put yourself out there consistently, powerfully, leverage polarity for the sake of communicating your message in a way that causes you to stand out, right? So all of those things will be brought to the forefront within you the moment you start to work for yourself. If you work for somebody else, it's very easy to hide because your paycheck is taken care of, right? Yeah. You don't have to confront any of these various things. You're just, you know, a cog in a wheel, if you will. And so when you step into entrepreneurship, though, everything's on you, right? So all parts of the business very quickly start to reflect you, but it also starts to reflect the areas within you that you have yet to address, that you have yet to heal and overcome. I literally had an experience with a client where she was actually fairly successful in business. She was doing roughly $50,000 to $60,000 a month in revenue, but she kept hiring people that served as confirmation bias to this internal belief that she had about how everyone is just going to end up hurting or betraying her. So what would she do? She had to hire those people in order to maintain that internal narrative and to continue to be right about that belief. And so her business was in this constant, you know, cycle of taking five steps forward, seven steps backwards, because she was hiring the wrong people. She was painting red flags white and ignoring the warning signs, you know, before these people were, before she even hired these people for the sake of like filling the role and trying to get beyond, you know, where she was in that moment and get to the next level. Well, it always ended up coming back and biting her in the ass, pardon my language. And she just kept repeating this pattern of hiring the wrong people for the job. And so until we actually dug beneath the surface to figure out, okay, what is the internal belief here that's really driving this behavior that's causing you to like overlook these very obvious warning signs, hire people that are unfit or unqualified for the position for the sake of just filling the role? Like, what's going on here? What are you continuing to try to be right about? And the moment that revealed itself, we were able to make the necessary needed changes in her business, and her business exploded. It took off because, as you can probably imagine, that belief showed up everywhere in her business. It didn't just show up in terms of the team members that she hired, but it also showed up in terms of the contractors and the vendors that she did business with. Right. And so once that was revealed and we were, you know, able to provide some healing around that, and she was able to break through it, the business just started to take off, because then she was able to hire the right people without feeling threatened internally that this person's going to try to take advantage of you. This person's going to ultimately betray you.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was no longer an issue.
That's deep, brother. Yeah. Let's, man, I want to unpack that there, but yeah, we're in the interest of time as we start to wind down. I do want to get into the last couple segments of the show. And the one question that I love dearly, because it is our time to be even more vulnerable than we've already been here, is embracing the F word, meaning failure. So something that happened in life or business that you had some hard lessons learned from it.
Yeah. I mean, well, probably the most recent one is like around 18 months ago, I had a traumatic brain injury. So I was on the golf course and I had a new onset seizure and I split my head wide open on the concrete and I was unconscious for 55 minutes. And I spent the latter half of 2022 and the beginning of 2023 this year severely depressed. My business just completely fell apart because I was no longer able to show up to work in the way that I once did. And I say that to say, it is the pattern that we ultimately find. We suffer to get well. We give it away to keep it. We lose it to find it. We die to live. And so all of that hardship that came on the back end of that incredibly scary health incident that in many ways caused my business to fall apart, it allowed me to dive deeper into my purpose around why I'm here to serve people and what I'm here to support them with. So at the end of the day, it was a gift. Despite the hardship, despite the financial losses, I had to lay off everybody in my company minus my assistant. And so all of this hardship, all of these trials and these tribulations that came from being in a situation where I was largely out of control because of the health issue, it allowed me to realign on a deeper level with my mission, my purpose, what I'm here to accomplish, what I'm here to do that is so much bigger than me. It's so far beyond me, and it's really in highest service of others. So it was awful. It was terrible because if you've ever experienced depression, you know that you're completely helpless to it. It's not a matter of, you know, just like changing your thinking or, you know, a pivot in mindset. You know, you are very much out of control and there's suffering there as a result. But because of that, that necessary suffering that I would call it, it simply opened me up to go deeper within myself, to access a greater level of authenticity, a greater degree of purpose in my work with my clients, and ultimately is what led me to publish this book. You know, okay. Because it's not my face on the cover of this book. This is the face of healing, that which we all need to experience and go through if we hope to reach our full potential.
Love it, dude. Yeah. So powerful. So powerful, man. Let's get into the one word in how you serve and how you help people.
Can I do two?
We'll start with the one word and then you can say the second word.
I would ultimately say transcendence.
Awesome.
To expound upon that, all of this self-help, personal development work at the end of the day has to lead you to transformation and transcendence that puts you in direct alignment and in relationship with a higher purpose and a higher power. If it doesn't, I promise you it's incomplete and insufficient, which is what led me to say what I said to you before you ever pressed record, which is that our success will always feel incomplete and insufficient until we've reconciled our pain.
It's so good, man. And it's interesting in this day and age, a lot of us put our pain out there in public where most people won't do that. But it is, for me personally, the fastest way to heal because you're totally. Kind of forced to do it. It really just lights a fire because you know that people are watching, whether it's one or 100,000 people, they're watching the journey.
Totally. Right? 100% and, they are.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for you putting that out there. Thanks for the vulnerability. Thank you for your mission in which you serve and how you serve. Do you have your mission statement that you could share your purpose here?
So my purpose is to support men in their transformation and transcendence through coaching, writing, and speaking.
Love it. Coaching, writing, and speaking. Awesome. So anyone that's in those spaces, they could reach out to you. They're looking to heal past traumas or share.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the people that I work with, as you can imagine, are entrepreneurs because entrepreneurship is inherently a personal development journey in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, those are the people that I find myself supporting the most, which I think is really perfect because entrepreneurship will force you down that path, whether you like it or not. That's not the question. The question is, who's going to be there alongside you to support you through that resistance when you come to confront it?
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for being on the show. What's the best way that people can reach out to you and potentially do some work together?
Yeah. So obviously you can find my book on Amazon, Let Love In, The Pain Stops When the Truth Starts by Jacob Kaufman. So it's my full name. My last name is spelled Kaufman. You can also interact with me via my website, awakewithjake.com, or my Instagram handle, which is I am Jake Kaufman. Again, that's Kaufman. M-A-N.
Love it. Thank you so much, brother. Appreciated our time together.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It was awesome, Eric. Thanks so much.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.